There is one thing that I do that annoys Robert. Just one. That's to take the TV remote and click through all the stations. I can do that in the middle of a program, commercials, whatever. But I came across on the TV an old rerun of the Andy Griffith Show. And I want to share it with you because I believe it ties in with our second lesson. The show begins with Opie showing his report card to his father. Andy had been after him to improve his grades. And the report card not only showed that he improved his grades, but he had all A's. And needless to say, Andy was very proud. The next day at school, Opie's teacher calls him to the desk, and she wants to let him know that she accidentally put another student's grades onto his report card. When Opie gets home, he immediately goes to his bedroom and starts studying. He intended to tell his father about the grades, but before he had a chance, his dad pulled out a new bicycle for him for all those A's on his report card. Opie was stunned. He didn't tell his dad about the mix-up, but he didn't take the bike for a ride either. He simply excused himself, went back up to study some more. The next day, Opie tried to tell his father about the mix-up, but before he could do that, Andy gave him an advance in his allowance and told him, go enjoy your bike. At dinner, he tried again to tell his father the truth, but Andy headed toward the kitchen to help Aunt Bee. Opie heard him telling how proud he was of his good grades. In the days that followed, Andy bragged to his friends. Andy also was sitting at his office that day when Opie's teacher stops by to talk to him about Opie's grades and the mix-up. Andy now knew the truth. Not only did Opie not get all A's, but he got an F in math. So Andy heads for home calling for Opie. No response. Goes to his bedroom and finds out there's a note there saying that he ran away from home. Of course, Andy races out, finding him despondently walking down the road. Opie explained why he was running away, not knowing that his father now knew the truth. He told the truth to him. He said he ran away because he knew he couldn't keep it a secret anymore. He told his father he had tried to tell him several times, but the weight of disappointment was just too great. Of course, Andy knew that he had only contributed to Opie's problem by giving him gifts and bragging to others. But then he says this to Opie. When I thought that you got all A's, that was the most important thing to me. I made it so important that I made it impossible for you to live up to it. You're my son. I'm proud of you just because you're my son. You need not do anything but your best. That's all I'll ever ask of you. I think it sounds like what Paul is trying to say to us in Romans 8. God wants us to know that nothing can separate us from his love. He says to each and every one of us, you are my child. I am proud of you. You just do your best, all that you can, the best you can. That's all I ask of you. The most important thing any of us can learn is that God's love is always there for us. Everything else in life is our response to that great love. First, though, we need to believe God's love is unconditional. He doesn't love us for what we are doing or what we can do. He simply loves us because we are his sons and daughters. And when you and I accept that claim, we're like the man who found a hidden treasure in the field, went out and sold all that he had to buy that field. We're like that merchant who searched for that pearl of great value and when finding it, sells everything to have it. I believe Jesus' message offers two things for us to understand. The kingdom of God is a priceless treasure, a treasure that we can possess here and now through kingdom living. Kingdom living is being part of his church and his mission. Kingdom living is saying, I choose to live my life as a member of the body of Christ. The parable is meant to stretch our vision of what kingdom living is about. It is priceless because there's nothing we can do to earn it. The invitation from God to live as kingdom people comes to us not because we got straight A's, but because he loves us. And no matter who we are or where we've been, we can all come into the kingdom the same way, through the loving invitation of our God. God knows that we're going to be tempted and hardships are going to come to us, even to the most faithful. Our knowledge of God's love empowers us to face life knowing God will never fail us. Although kingdom living is a priceless treasure, it is only our response to the treasure that will dramatically change our priorities. Jesus tells us that kingdom living must be the first thing on our agenda. We must put aside everything else to embrace that priceless treasure. God's grace, God's love, is not cheap. Cheap grace is preaching forgiveness without accountability and repentance. Cheap grace is baptism without connection with the church. Cheap grace is communion without confession. Cheap grace is absolution without personal confession. Every week you hear that absolution, and it's given to you personally because you've made your personal confession. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. And to those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God, and he gives you his Holy Spirit. Yes, this priceless treasure, God welcoming and his loving invitation into his kingdom, calls for you and me to respond to that. The good news is that God doesn't expect us to do the impossible. He does, however, call us to put him first. And yes, some things he calls us to do calls us to stretch ourselves. Jesus reminds us that we need to depend on him more and less on ourselves so that we can do our best and to live as his kingdom people. Our lives are to show evidence that our God reigns. Our lives are to show evidence that God still moves among his people. Our purpose as God's people is pretty simple. Our purpose is to live as God's kingdom people and to grow the kingdom. Today's devotion in Christ Our Home says it well this way. What we leave behind is not what is engraved in stone. Not all those plaques saying thank you for serving, thank you for your devotion. Not even on your gravestone. This was a community-minded person, whatever. What we leave behind is not what is engraved in stone, but what is woven into the lives of others, living as God's kingdom people. Amen.